And we're going to spend a few minutes talking about something really essential for your holiday ahead, and that is to find that Christmas spirit, get that mood, have all the feels, as they say. And we're going to talk about Scrooge in Love with the director of this new show that's coming to the Lucky Penny Community Arts Center. Diane McBride is with us via telephone this morning. Diane, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mr. Martin.
It's good to have you. Now, you have a very unique relationship to this show, Scrooge in Love. You are the only person who has ever directed it, right?
That is correct.
So tell us the story. Tell us the origin story of this new Christmas musical.
Okay. So Scrooge in Love is a romantic comedy that takes place a year after Christmas Carol. And it was brought to a theater company that I work at in San Francisco called 42nd Street Moon. And in 2014, then-artistic director Greg McKellen and former managing director Joe Mader approached Larry Grossman, who's the composer of this piece, and asked him if he had anything new that he was working on. And he sent up a draft of Scrooge in Love with some rough tracks, and they read it, and they loved it, and they thought it was just a great piece, and they brought it to me, and I read it, and I thought it was really funny and tuneful, and they asked if I would direct it. And it had been workshopped at Northwestern, where Larry had gone to college, and that had been really the only, you know, group that had ever sung it or seen it, and it was still rough in that way. But when it came to us, it was in pretty good shape. I would say it was about 9/10 finished. We did a little bit of tweaking. And I would, before we cast and did everything, I would go down to Los Angeles and work with Dwayne Poole, who's the author, and Larry and Kellen Blair, who wrote the lyrics. And we would just sort of work through the show a little bit, talk about the show, talk about how to double some of the characters and get it down to a manageable size. And then we brought it to Moon, we cast it, and to our really wonderful surprise, it ended up being our best-selling show that we had ever had at Moon. And it did so well that we brought it back the following year to the Marines Memorial, which is a much bigger venue in downtown San Francisco, and we did extremely well there. So after 25 years at Moon, the first version of Scrooge and the second version of Scrooge are number one and two sellers. So it's a beautiful show. It's really romantic and funny and familiar. All the ghosts are back and all the characters that you know, the Fezziwigs. So I think to a certain extent it gives the audience a sense of, oh, we know the show, but then you don't know the show. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much the origin story. And then it got picked up by Tams Whitmark, which is a publishing house and distribution for theater. And Lucky Penny is the first regional theater in the United States to produce it.
Yeah, and we're very excited about it. Full disclosure, for those who don't know, I am co-founder, managing director of Lucky Penny, and Diane and I are friends, and Diane is one of our associate artists, and we're thrilled to have you directing the show. This third production that you've directed, a smaller space, a different cast, obviously. How's it gone for you? What do you think of what the audiences are going to see when we open Friday night?
Well, the thing I love is the first time we did it, we were in the Gateway, which is downtown San Francisco. So it's not a very big proscenium theater. It seats 200. And for people who aren't theater, you know, people like you and me, proscenium is just the audience sitting in front. And then when we took it to Marines Memorial, the stage was much bigger. So we had a rotating set and, you know, borders and all these different sorts of things. And now taking it to Lucky Penny, which is what we'd call three-quarter space, audience on three sides, it's sort of back to the set size that we had at the original production, except now I can tell the story, you know, sort of three different ways, three different pictures to look at. And I think that the beautiful discovery about Scrooge in Love is that it works big, and it works small, and it works proscenium, and it works three-quarter, and it works because it's just a good book, and it's a good, you know, it's a good score. Mm-hmm. So for me to be able to, like, sort of have all those different entrances that we can have at Lucky Penny just gives me more opportunity to play.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a cast that's drawn from about, what, a 60 or 70 mile radius of Napa, actors from all over the Bay Area, including a number of local Napa performers.
Mm-hmm. And we only have one actor who has done the show before, Andrea Dennison-Loffer, who was in the ensemble when we did it at Marines Memorial. We've moved her over to The Ghost of Christmas Past. She's a terrific singer.
She's so funny.
And, yeah, and funny and just beautiful. And, yeah, we have people from all over. Brian Herndon, who's playing Scrooge, has been my friend for over 20 years. And I attended Brian's wedding. I've taught his daughter for many, many years. I've done lots of shows with him as both an actor and a director. And when we originally had done the production, it was sort of modeled around the idea that Jason Graw, who is currently playing the wizard in Wicked on tour, was going to play Scrooge. And he did. He played Scrooge for us for 2 years. He was really good friends with Dwayne and Larry. So knowing that I was going to have to find a new Scrooge, or we were going to have to find a new Scrooge, was really important because it's written for obviously somebody who has the gravitas to play Ebenezer Scrooge, but you also have to be a song and dance man. And Brian Herndon, who if people, you know, don't know him, they will. Brian works a lot down at Theater Works and Marin Theater Company. He's the real deal. He can do anything from Shakespeare to the lightest musical comedy, and he's so incredibly fit and spry that, you know, the song and dance man and all the physical comedy for Scrooge is really alive and present in this version. So that was just a lovely surprise. I think people are going to just love him.
And without giving away too much of the plot, as you mentioned in the intro, it's a year later, a year after the events that take place in the classic Dickens story. Scrooge has been visited by the ghosts. He has changed his ways. He's become a better person. But a year later at Christmas time, he gets another round of visits. Because?
Because he's missing the one thing that makes life worth living, and that is love.
Oh, I thought it was pie. I was going to say.
Well, that is true. That's probably the second thing in life that's the most important. Because when you're in love, you can go get pie together.
Okay. Good point.
So he has this party. I won't give away too much, no spoilers, but he has this party, and Marley comes back and he says, look at all these people at the party who have a partner and you don't have it. And Scrooge says, I'm fine. I'm good. Everything's great. And they make him go back and revisit, this relationship that's sort of, you know, it's in Christmas Carol, novella, but it's not as hugely developed as we do in Scrooge in Love. And so he meets Belle, which was sort of his past love. And what the ghosts show him is very painful. And that's where it gets into sort of the heart and the meat of the play, because he has to see himself as a young man sort of making mistakes and also making the choices that put him on the trajectory to become Ebenezer Scrooge. And so right there in the middle of the play is just this really beautiful heartbreak.
Yeah.
And I just think it's the most beautiful piece of writing to let us know who this... It sort of enriches the character of Ebenezer Scrooge that you think that you know, but there's like this heart and this heartbreak that exists behind him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's something wonderful about derivations, you know, the familiar story that gets a new treatment, and so you as an audience member, you're ready for it. It's not a sequel exactly, but it's a reworking of that familiar story that you can immediately be engaged in.
Sure, I think that's why they're so important. I mean, and so popular right now. I think that's why the Star Wars universe exists.
Yeah,
I think that's why Marvel. You know, and anything that goes back, you know, Solo, that's a really good example where you love Han Solo and then you get to get his whole story. So it's new, but it's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I like to think about these things sort of in a global sense. And I, you know, the last, you know, especially 5 years, that stuff has become really popular. And I think that there's a need right now in a sort of topsy-turvy world to have things that are familiar. They make us feel comforted. And I think at Christmas, one of the things that happens is that families really love tradition,
yeah,
or the holidays. And so it's no surprise to me that Scrooge and Love, it does so well. But I think it's that families like to find this thing that is going to be their thing that they're going to go do together.
Yeah. And this is right up that alley and down that street because it's for the whole family. And I think you could say this is G-rated. I was just seeing a piece the other day that they almost do not make any G-rated movies anymore because, you know, it's like a curse. But this is actually, wouldn't you say, a G-rated musical?
I would say it's G-rated.
Yeah.
I think there's a scary moment with The Ghost of Christmas Future, maybe, but
yeah.
In scary in a way that you might have to hold your mom or dad's hand.
Right. But nothing, you know? Nothing that little Johnny or little Janie will say, "Mommy, what are they talking about?" You know?
No, nothing like that. I mean, it's really very, very innocent,
yeah,
and sweet and funny and colorful. Colorful not in we have the palette of our show. It's just so lovely. It's really warm and very Christmassy in the room. And then Rebecca Valentino, who's been our costume designer from the very beginning, she's just created this beautiful palette of Victorian England that's all jewel tones and plaid. And it's just the most beautiful,
yeah,
costuming. And Stacey Arriaga, who's the choreographer, has also been with this project from the very beginning. So that was really exciting to go back and to do this piece with the two of them again.
Yeah. A little bit of a theater history in the making thing, or good old Lucky Penny. I have to ask one last question, Diane. We're talking about Scrooge in Love, which is opening on Friday, by the way. What's it like working with the artistic director at Lucky Penny? I'm sure it's challenging is probably the first word you're going
to. I adore everything about Lucky Penny. I am no fool, Barry Martin.
Not going to go there.
Okay. No, I love Lucky Penny. I feel like I'm really grateful that I have two homes in the Bay Area that I get to consistently make work at. I've been at Moon for 24 seasons now, and I believe I've been up with Lucky Penny for four?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and to have my home in the North Bay and have my home in San Francisco, anybody who makes a living in the arts, to have one company feels lucky, but to have two that, you know, you get to say, "Hey, I'm interested in this piece," or "Would you think of me for this?" or they bring you projects. It's just, it's a dream. And Lucky Penny affords me the opportunity to do a lot of things that I probably wouldn't get to do in a lot of other places. I get that chance to go back and forth between straight plays and musicals,
yeah,
and to direct and to do readings. And it's just, it's a really happy place. It's the most wonderful little theater in Napa, and everybody should go see Scrooge in Love.
All right, good way to wrap it up. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you. I'll see you this evening.
All right, take care.
All right, bye.
Diane McBride, our director for Scrooge in Love show, as I mentioned, opens on Friday. Friday night and the Sunday matinee this weekend are close to sold out. There are some significant good seats available for Saturday night this weekend. And then we go two more weekends through the middle of December. Find out all about show times and ticket prices and whatnot at luckypennynapa.com. You'll also find our theater phone number there if you want to do a ticket order by telephone. We do that too. luckypennynapa.com. And again, opening night is Friday. And snag a seat. You can meet Diane in the lobby. I'm sure she'll be there too. 8:23 now at KVON, time for a break. We'll pick up where we left off. I don't know what that means. We'll continue. We'll have other things to talk about, I guess, when we come back after these messages.